Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Monday Panic Podcast. Good to have you with us. Sometimes I marvel at how fast the weekend goes. Do you guys also? Seems like Saturday and Sunday, like they fly by, and then all of a sudden it's Monday again, which is okay because Monday is one of my favorite days of the week because you get a chance to start all over again and get right the things you got wrong last Monday. So for that reason alone, it's going to be a great day today. Mondays on the Panic Podcast this winter, we're looking at aspects of our great salvation. And so far, we have looked at, salvation in the past tense, salvation in the present tense, and that just leaves one more for today, salvation in the future tense. So get your Bibles opened up, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 9 as we get things started. We're going to be reading some verses in Hebrews chapter 9 as we look at salvation in the future tense on today's Panic Podcast. Yeah, I look outside the windows of my professional podcaster studio, and it's a beautiful looking day today. We have just passed through one of the coldest weekends in recent memory, but looks like today's going to be nice. We're going to be up pushing 60 degrees this week, so that'll be nice. I kind of had a chuckle over the weekend. We've been watching the Canadian Freedom Convoy, all those truckers protesting COVID mandates north of the border. And just so exciting to see. We're talking, 100,000 semis and big rigs from the four corners of Canada and some coming up from the States here, trying to roll back some of the ridiculous mandates in Canada. But I had to laugh because Saturday I was watching Ezra Levant doing his coverage, Rebel News there in Ottawa, and he was talking about how cold it was, and he was getting frostbite on his fingertips, and he said he said for my American viewers it was 12 degrees Fahrenheit, and I just had to laugh because it was 12 degrees Fahrenheit down here in Southwest Virginia on Saturday. It's been cold all over the East Coast, but it was definitely Canada cold on Saturday. But it's warming up just quite a bit, so that'll be nice later on in the week when we get back up to where we should be. But boy, 12 degrees, that is just darn cold. Well, let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 9. I think for those of you interested, it's 34 degrees right now. Well on its way. It's going to be up into the 40s today, so that'll be good. Hebrews chapter 9, starting to read it at the 24th verse. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. Now listen to this. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Now, what do you think that means? What do you think that means? Are you saved or aren't you? If he's bringing salvation with him, does that mean that you don't have it now? Well, actually, you do. And we're going to talk about salvation in the future tense today. Try to understand exactly what we mean by that. After a couple of weeks in the topic, you know by now that our salvation is truly great. And we need to learn more about it. We need to be more informed concerning the greatness, the richness, the fullness of the salvation which God provides for us through faith in Jesus Christ and through our cooperation with the Holy Spirit as He works the work of God within us. Now, the root meaning for the word save or salvation means to deliver, to rescue, to heal, all that those words may imply. Now, the New Testament speaks repeatedly of the salvation experience in a great variety of ways. And we should recognize that the Holy Spirit led the New Testament writers to write of this great salvation in many different ways. The New Testament speaks of salvation, for example, in terms of justification and regeneration. And as it does so, it speaks of salvation as a past experience that continues into the present. The New Testament speaks of salvation in the present tense as a present process that is going on now from day to day. God is at work in us to deliver us from the tyranny and from the waste of sin as a present reality. This is not salvation from the penalty of sin or from the presence of sin, but rather it is salvation from the power of sin. If you neglect to respond to any phase of this great salvation, you do yourself a great disservice and you impoverish your spiritual life. If you fail to properly appreciate what God has done for you in the past, you will live in uncertainty in the present and with great anxiety concerning the future. Today, I want to focus on our great salvation in the future, the salvation that Jesus will bring with him to those who are waiting for him. Karl Marx, you know, famously said that religion is the opiate of the people. Now, it must be admitted that there have been times and situations in which our salvation in the future has been, let's say, overemphasized to the neglect of experiencing and trying to do the will of God in the present. Others, I think, have criticized this phase of our salvation as being the promise of pie in the sky in the sweet by and by. But it must be admitted that some have thought of our Lord as kind of like a funeral director who comes at the moment of death to carry the soul into the presence of God. You know, that's a caricature of the teachings of the New Testament concerning our Lord's gracious provisions for us in the present as well as in the future. And to understand what the New Testament teaches about salvation in the future can be just a tremendous source of comfort to, let's say, older Christians, and can be a thrilling challenge to younger Christians. Because number one, this knowledge of our future salvation can really help us in our struggle against evil today, when you realize that the salvation that you possess right now is not all there is for you, that there's more. And also the knowledge that there's a final phase to your salvation, something that you can't possibly imagine waiting for you. This information can also sustain us in our present sorrows. Like when you lose a loved one, for example, but you realize there's more to salvation than the here and now, You realize, number one, that there's more salvation for them who have passed on, and there's more salvation for you who have yet to pass on. This insight can undergird us in our spiritual conflicts. Years ago, the Imperials sang a great song. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't lift us up to let us down. And that is so true. And when you are when you go through your struggles with sin, when you try to live right and do right, and sometimes you succeed and oftentimes you don't, you realize that first of all, God didn't save you to abandon you just because you get it wrong sometimes. And that God, he's just going to turn his back on you because you disappoint him. Okay, it is possible to disappoint God. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But he's not finished with you. Okay, he saved you in the past. He continues to save you in the present. But there's more salvation waiting for you at the end. And this revelation of truth can help us to have a reliable test for our scale of values. When you begin to realize that what God has given you right now in terms of your salvation is just a foretaste of what is to come, you begin to live your life looking forward to the future. You begin to live with heaven in view. And understanding the great salvation that has been given to us and is offered to us in the future can let us know what the ultimate values of life are and what the ultimate victory will be. What you possess now, in terms of, you know, your material possessions and your careers and everything like that, okay, that's nothing compared to what's waiting for you. I mean, thank God for the good things in your life right now. Thank God for your good health. Thank God for your family. Thank God for a good job or a good career, good education. Absolutely, all those things are important. But there's more to it than just that. And there's more to you than what you're experiencing right now. Because the Lord is bringing the rest of your salvation with him. And we can look forward to that. And you should think about that from time to time. Now, this life beyond that we're talking about here, there are many, many questions that people have concerning the life beyond. And to tell you the truth, the Bible does not give a detailed, exhaustive description of what the life beyond this one will be like. However, the Bible does give us some insight and some understanding. So let's take a look at a couple of verses just to get us started in this direction. Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 14. Could you do that? John chapter 14. Let's see. Where do I want to go? Oh, verse 1, I guess. Now listen to this. John chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus is talking here. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has plenty of room. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you will also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Now, that's probably some of the most comforting verses in all the Bible concerning the world to come and the life beyond. But one of the things that these verses tell us is that God is at the very center of the life beyond, right? He is preparing a place especially for you. Now, what that means is that there will be a place especially suited for you in heaven. And heaven means much, much more than just, you know, the children of God going on a journey somewhere. Heaven is much, much more than your final residence, although it is that. Heaven is really a relationship with God the Father as he has revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. And devout believers, now this is an interesting thing. Devout believers have very often thought in terms of how wonderful heaven will be because they will be reunited with loved ones who have preceded them in death. How many times have you heard that? I've said that many times at funerals, and I've done funeral sermons based on the idea, among other things, that when we die, we will see our mom in heaven, our dad, our grandmother, or whatever, and that can be a wonderfully comforting thought. But the primary relationship and the focus of our attention in heaven is not going to be spending time with our dearly departed loved ones. It will be being with our Heavenly Father and enjoying His presence. Because as I say, He will be the focus of attention in heaven. So let me ask you a series of questions just to get you thinking in the right direction. Do you love God in the present? Do you hunger for an abiding sense of His loving presence at this very moment? Do you love Him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? Well, if you do, then heaven is going to be a great place for you because you will finally and at last be in the presence of your Heavenly Father with no time and no distance coming between you. But if you find in your own heart an absence for the love of God, and if you find you're neglecting Him, then you should be concerned about whether or not you've been born into His family. Heaven is primarily to be thought of in terms of a relationship with the Father God than merely a residence to which you go. Now let's look at the life beyond in some great negatives, okay? In heaven, look at Revelation 21, 27. There will be no sin in heaven. Revelation 21, what did I say? 27. Let's have a look here. I should have wrote this down in my notes. Nothing, it's speaking of heaven, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So there will be no sin in heaven. Does sin bother you in the present? Are you disturbed by sin? Does sin get under your skin? Is it uncomfortable to be in the presence of sin? Like when you've got a rock, a little pebble in your shoe and you're trying to walk around, right? If so, then rejoice because in heaven, there will be no sin. Can you imagine living in a place where you're not going to be tempted to do something wrong? Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. Well, heaven's going to be beautiful. No sin. And Revelation 21, verse 4, not only will there be no sin in heaven, but look at what verse 4 says. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no tears of sorrow in heaven. I mean, the tears of sorrow that we experience today in the present are due to the tragedies that are brought about by sin in our lives, in the lives of others, and because we live in a sin-cursed and sinful world. Right? When we lose a loved one, that's because of sin. When someone we love has been hurt, That's also because of sin. Maybe not that they were sinning and they got hurt while they were sinning. That's not what I mean. But every negative emotion, every negative thing that happens is because we're living in a world that's completely absorbed in sin. But God will wipe away our tears in heaven. You know, not with a lace handkerchief, but by removing the cause of those tears. No longer will you struggle to not sin. There'll be no sin to tempt you, you see. Now, there'll also be no pain in heaven. I kind of look forward to that, to be honest. I have some arthritis. Yeah, at my age, that's pretty common. I played hockey when I was younger, did a lot of things outside in the wintertime, got hurt, you know, hurt my knee, hurt my ankles, hurt my wrist. Now I've got pain when I get cold. My hands ache, my knee aches, something awful when it gets cold. There's not going to be any pain in heaven. Physicians will no longer need to practice medicine to relieve pain. What are all those Christian doctors going to do in heaven, I wonder? Man, talk about a long vacation. Sickness will be a thing of the past. No COVID-19 in heaven. There's not going to be any sickness in heaven. There'll be no more death in heaven. And death shall be no more. Again, Revelation 21:4, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. No more death in heaven. There'll be no cemeteries on the hillside in heaven. You know, people live today with a fear of death in the here and now. That's the common fear that every human being has. Fear of death. But for those who have trusted in Christ, there will come a time when there will be no death. Ever again, no sorrow caused by death, right? And there will be no more separation from those whom we love in heaven. Look at Revelation 21, verse 1 for a second. I'll show you something interesting. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Now, that's a very interesting statement. In this context, the sea that had separated John from those who were, remember, he was on an island, so there was a body of water that separated him from the people that he loved in the city of Ephesus. And John saw the sea as a barrier that separated people who loved each other. Well, all the barriers, there's no sea in heaven in the sense that there'll be nothing separating us from each other, right? There'll be nothing that comes between people and the love that they have for each other. All the barriers will be absent in heaven, and we will love each other sincerely and steadfastly. And that's something to think about too, you know. There's all kinds of things that keep us from loving each other in the pure sense. Not just time and distance, but feelings and emotions, you know, petty little jealousies and things like that. Well, all that's going to be gone in heaven. There'll be no sea. There'll be nothing separating us from each other. Also, Revelation 21:22, look at this. There'll be no temple in heaven. John says, I didn't see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. In other words, all of heaven will be a place of worship. And we will be lovingly and very warmly aware of the presence of God all around us all the time. Verse 25, no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. There'll be no night in heaven. Darkness is that which conceals and oftentimes creates fear and anxiety and uncertainty. In heaven, we will enjoy the perfect security that comes as a result of the loving presence of our God. And there'll be no limitations to the good in the life beyond. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Just turn back a few pages here. 1 John chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Yep. In other words, there'll be no limitations to the good in the life beyond. We will be like Jesus. We will no longer be plagued or hindered, held back or held down by a nature that has been tainted with sin. Isn't that going to be wonderful? So salvation in the past, present, and future is made possible for us by God's amazing grace. And it is understood by his undeserved mercy that it is by his undeserved mercy that we are provided a Savior in Jesus Christ. He made a way for us to be saved. We did not deserve to be saved. Why? While we were yet sinners, the Bible says. Right? He saved us. We didn't deserve it. We weren't looking for it. But he came through for us. Jesus Christ alone is the exclusive agent through whom we obtain this great salvation. I hope everybody listening to the podcast today has experienced our great salvation. You can trust yourself in his hands, that he will forgive your past and bestow upon you the gift of eternal life if you don't know him. If you don't know Jesus, commit yourself to him right now and to his way of life in order that you might experience a full salvation in the present and look forward to the completion of that salvation in the future. If you don't know Jesus today, welcome him into your life. He wants very much to have a relationship with you based on love and forgiveness. And I think we better call it quits there for now. It's getting to, time is marching on. I was a little late getting the podcast done this morning. I had some visitors early on in church, so I had to attend them. Salvation in the past, present, and future. Next Monday, we'll continue our look at salvation, our great salvation in another aspect of it. In the meantime, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer and as we continue our day today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you accomplished for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you saved us. We thank you that you continue to save us. And Lord, we look forward to the consummation of our salvation in that great day when Jesus returns or when he takes us home to be with him. Lord, I pray that you'd keep us all safe and sound till we can meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, everybody, that's it for today. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. We'll see you in about 48 hours, Wednesday, as we continue our look at some interesting incidents in Luke's gospel. Until then, have a great couple of days. We'll see you again real soon.